Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
And we're back. No more Sundance. Sundance is over. Please check out all our videos. Many, many, many videos. Lots of coverage. It was fun. It was exciting. I can take a nap. Okay. Today, we're talking about the dead thing, which could describe us after Sundance.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
please remember to like, subscribe, and follow the dead thing. This is a new 2025 movie directed by Elric Kane, written by Elric Kane, and Webb Wilcoxon, starring Blue Hunt as Alex, Ben Smith Peterson as Kyle. Do you know anything about Elric Kane?
I think I do. I think he, correct me if I'm wrong, does he run a podcast?
He does, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend, Jeremy Thomas. You end up hearing this. I hope you hear this, Jeremy. Jeremy Thomas, I think, is a very big fan of his podcast. This was part of the reason why this was on my radar.
Okay.
I almost got to review this during Fantasia, but I got sick during Fantasia and was not able to do what I was able to do during Sundance during Fantasia. So my coverage was not as great this year. But it's been on my radar since, seeing that it was part of that list. I think it actually was a part of Fantastic Fest also, if I remember correct. I think so.
I'm not sure, but actually, he has a Letterboxd page. And if you look at his Letterboxd, he's kind of been commenting every time there's some kind of premiere. So you can look at his page, and you can kind of follow the different premieres that thing is happening. Yeah. But now it's playing on Shudder. Or will be soon.
It's gonna be Friday.
So it will be playing on Shudder this Valentine's Day. So if you don't want to go see like Captain America, or I think there's like Bridget Jones or something like that, you can come watch The Dead Thing.
If you're wanting a very interesting romance, come watch The Dead Thing.
It fits the Valentine's Day theme.
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk about the story a bit. So it's about a girl. She has a something like Tinder. It's called Friction. She has some kind of like app. You know, she swipes. She gets with guys. She gets with many guys. One of the guys she gets with. How far do we want to go into spoilers?
Let's just I'll try to like summarize it.
Sure.
As possible. She meets a guy. And what I can tell you is that they go on a date. They have a really nice night. The next morning, he doesn't remember her. Very simple to put, and we won't go any further than that. And you know, he doesn't respond to her texts. And for some reason, the mystery at first is, why doesn't he remember who she is? And we'll go from there, and we'll talk about it from there.
Okay. I think I can start a little bit with some of my positives. I like the mystery aspects. I really like how creepy it is. It's very uncomfortable, very unsettling.
Very unsettling, and the score is unsettling too.
The score is good too. I thought it was funny that her job is just scan things, just scan. And there's some cool visual shots in this. There's some cool surrealism. There's one scene where she's crying and like she's crying like with sunglasses, but it's like dark makeup with glitter, and it's just one of the most amazing like cinematic shots. Like
it makes her skin green.
There's like a green light on her too. So there's like a green light and she has like glittering dark makeup. It's amazing. Like this is a kind of cinematic shot. Like you envision the shot and you can write a movie around the shot. That's how great of a, and I really like, not spoilers, but I really like the ending, how this turns into like kind of a full on horror movie for a little bit at the end. There's some really great sequences at the end. The sound design, the music, the credits, even the style of the credits was really cool at the end with the music and the font and all of that. That being said, I thought this movie stunk. Okay, John, you can go.
I didn't think it was bad. On a surface level, I can see why somebody would hate it.
Okay.
It's starting to coming together. I think it's a bit on the nose at the end, but I think it's a abstract metaphor for how one relationship can cost you everything. That is kind of my takeaway from it. I think we can have like maybe a 5 minute spoiler discussion just like at the end. We might put this off Friday just so we can have that 5 minute conversation. But there's a topic surrounding this film about how everything around this girl is either dying or like or falling apart, or there's one part in the movie where she seemingly misses work for like 9 days, and they don't really understand. She doesn't understand why. I don't know if you've ever been in love, but I've been there. Yeah, obviously we've talked about that, but if you're in an unhealthy either breakup or if you're in an unhealthy relationship, this entire film can feel like this is an entire like way it can feel. It can feel like your relationships are being messed up. It can feel like your work environment is being messed up. It can make you feel like you don't want to get out of bed. Some days, like, there's like a grief that goes on, not even just when you're in it, even when you're out of it.
Yeah, but afterwards, it lingers.
There can be a grief on both sides of it. Like, so the way that I took it is that there was a conversation around that. Now, we can argue if it does it well, I think. I think it does it pretty interestingly. This is like a movie that was obviously made independently of anybody. So the fact that they were able to accomplish some of that, I think, is pretty fascinating to me that they did it on this kind of scale. I do think that it gets a little bit on the nose the more it goes along. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
But I like what you're saying kind of about how it's a metaphor for kind of like the relationships that stay with you, or like especially toxic relationships that stay with you and they kind of like follow you. Even when like you're out of the relationship, like it kind of ghosts you. I guess
that kind of stays along with you even after
Like I understood those things while watching, but I didn't really think about it too deeply like that. So that's a really interesting point. I do want to say Blue Hunt, the actress in the center, I thought she was really good in this. I think the character is a little bit underwritten. They're all underwritten. Maybe stylistically, maybe on purpose. I think it's a very kind of
I think it's pulled away on purpose. I think you, the viewer, are supposed to fill in those gaps a little bit. Like, you're not supposed to have all the information. I do. The one part that I wish that I had a little more on was the friend. I felt like that moment would have hit a little bit harder with the friend if there was like more development there, because like I didn't feel like I had enough to hang any emotional investment on.
They give you a little, but it's either a little bit too much or a little or not enough, but it's not quite satisfying where we are with her.
Yeah, it's not quite there. It's not quite there. They get to a nugget of investment, but I think that moment would have hit harder with just a little more. Just a little more there. Like one scene, I think, could take care of all of it, but I'm not sure what that scene would be. But we needed just a little more between them. But I think for the most part, I mean, you know, with indie film, I try to be a little more relaxed.
I know,
because like stop playing by the same rules as like Wolfman. Wolfman's got a budget.
This is better than Wolfman, I promise.
Wolfman, you know.
Wolfman remains the worst movie of the year.
I don't know if it's the worst, but the thing is, like, Wolfman costs more than Upgrade. Upgrade costs more than this movie. You know, and it's like the fact that like they were able to do this. On the budget they have, I think it does what it needs to do for what they were able to accomplish. I think there's room to grow for sure, though.
Hey,
there's
definitely John, room to grow. What does David Chen say at the end of every slash film review?
Yeah, it's like, At the end of the day, you know, they made a movie, and that's the greatest thing of all, right?
Because it's just impressive. It's so difficult to make a movie, and it's so impressive. And this movie, I started with those positives because it's so stylish. Like, there's so much that's really awesome in this movie. I struggled with the writing a lot. I had big problems with the writing, but the more I'm talking to you right now, I'm realizing that it's intentional, I think. And maybe I didn't. I don't like the effect. Like, this is a very uncomfortable movie. And especially as a horror movie, it's effective in creating an emotional response. But it's like a sexual assault is out the wazoo. This is a sexual assault movie, and it's heavy. It's heavy. It's uncomfortable. It's so creepy. It's a
Yeah,
stalker movie.
and to be clear, like it makes those scenes not enjoyable. Not enjoyable at all.
But that's
Like,
absolutely the intention, right?
yeah, it is.
I mean, as a horror movie to create an emotional response, it is absolutely that, you know? But
But you know
oh boy.
what's funny is like I was watching it and there was somebody here with me and I was watching it and it was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
I can't even imagine, like, who is
And
this? What is this guy watching?
they were both, what's funny is they were like, it's a pretty good movie. It took me completely out whenever they said that.
It's real interesting that we talk about Lee Whannell, because I the one movie I was going to compare this to is the one Lee Whannell movie you did not mention. How does this compare to Invisible Man? What do you think?
I don't think that they're doing. I don't. Well, you know, that's something
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
that's a very interesting comparison. I don't think it's the same
Not at
goal,
all, not the same, but that
but
they're toying
there
with a
is a
few of the same
parallel.
ideas.
There
Yeah.
is a parallel. There is a parallel. You know, because one of them is about like a deliberate psychopath stalking somebody, Mother Invisible. The other one is like
This one, no spoilers.
the other one is like yeah, the other one is it's comparable. I don't want to say how, but like it is comparable. I will say that some of the death scenes they threw me off at first.
For sure.
Until I kind of like put it together, and like again, you gotta make a leap in thought to actually put these ideas together in your head. And I think that's intentional. I think you gotta do the work yourself to actually figure that out. But there's,
The editing is very disorienting. And at
but
first, I was a
there's.
little bit frustrated. It's effective, but it's a little bit confusing too.
Yeah.
But of course, they don't want to hold your hand too much. But
But there's death in it. I'm not gonna say who dies, but there's one death that like leads to all the other deaths. And that first death, I'm still kind of confused, like who killed who, or like why, you know, this is a very difficult film to talk about without spoilers. That's all I'm gonna say, but my overall thought is that it is about how one terrible, terrible romance that is strong and connected and that has so much feeling, whether it is toxic or not, how it could just affect everything. Everything, no matter what. It's like a virus in your mind. And then it just spreads into everything. And I feel like the girl that's in it, she played it very great. She played it very strong,
Incredible, incredible.
very commanding for somebody I've never seen before. It looked she had a very Vanessa Hudgens kind of like vibe to her,
Kind of, yeah. Her
kind of
name is
vibe
Blue
to
Hunt.
her.
Blue Hunt.
But she was very good in it. I don't know if any of this helped you at all with
No,
your thoughts.
absolutely. Because this whole metaphor that you were talking about like a toxic relationship that stays with you and haunts you. Wow, that kind of broke the movie open for me. I still think I have my frustrations with it, but I understand it so much deeper now already. Yeah, because I just. I just didn't click that because we just I just finished it and then we just started recording. I didn't even. Huh.
Well,
That's good. That's good.
it's like I said, on the surface, it might make you want to pull your hair out, like, because it just, it doesn't, it does not, like, this is not conventional. It is not a conventional narrative at all.
And it's so unpleasant,
Yeah.
unintentionally, on purpose, unpleasant. But boy, it's unpleasant.
Almost like bring them down. Very much like bring them down. Very unpleasant, very uncomfortable.
I enjoyed that one, but differently, because I think this is perhaps this is deeper then, huh?
This one's deeper. It's
This is
more
deeper.
abstract.
This
It's
is
more
the more
abstract.
abstract is for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good because it's abstract. And at first, I was kind of like, this is weirdly put together. I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Huh. Now I want to rewatch it. Thanks, John.
Yeah. Rewatch it. Put those ideas in your head. So, I mean, that kind of clicks a little better. And then, again, I just finished watching this like 30 minutes ago. You know, like I think anybody who's ever been through, like, I don't know if you've been through like a really tough, like painful relationship, but like it might click more for the people that have been through that really, like that hurt, that just that unloading hurt that just like not just like hurts you, but just hurts everybody around you, you know?
Because it makes so much sense now if she's like the kind of depression and things like that, like especially about the 9 days of work that she misses, and the way
Yeah.
she's responding to the people around her,
Yep.
and
Inner
how it even
coworker. Inner coworker.
exactly, and how it even affects her new upcoming relationships too.
Yep. Yeah, the
Yeah,
one
but
guy.
huh, I still think I have some issues with the writing, but the idea at the center of it makes so much more sense to me now. Oh, good conversation, John.
So should we do like a 5 minute spoiler? 5 minute spoiler, just.
You think we need to? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead if you have something to say.
Yeah, so we'll do a
Spoilers!
5 minute.
Spoilers!
Get out, do not stay, get the water. Okay. I'm not cutting it. I'm not cutting it. It's staying in the cut. So the movie implies that she killed him. And I got the idea that there was kind of a breakup there. Or that, like, I don't know, it's a little messy at that point because, like, it implies that they had a one-night stand and then, like, you forgot her. But, like, if you look at the overall theme of it, you could make a deduction that either that they had a relationship that's not talked about or that one single event affected everything going forward. Like because there's so much insecurity when you fall in love and then somebody just ghosts you. When somebody ghosts you and they don't talk to you again and you give them your heart and you give them your soul, you give them everything and then they just don't respond to you. And act like you don't exist. If you look at it from that front, everything going forward made that guy a demon for her. Going forward to the very end.
I think that might have been why I didn't understand it the way you did, because I just interpreted that one night. I didn't think about it as like a deeper, like serious relationship that she was trying to work her way out of. So I was
Yeah.
just like, it's just one night, and then she somehow like she just got unlucky, and now she's with this like ghost guy who's
Yeah.
like haunting her.
But it's a ghost to haunt her. It's that insecurity that just builds and builds and builds and kills
Like,
every relationship going forward.
can you imagine if you have like before sunset and then the girl turns into this ghost that tries
Oh,
to
God.
kill you?
And if you notice, like, even like, you can even think about it in this regard. Like, at the very end of it, he's kind of controlling the guy and what he says. So it's almost like she basically hears the same feedback loop from a new guy. No matter what, no matter who she's with, she's seeing that guy in the new guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's even got the same eyeball at that one point. And to me, that was the abstract theme is that it's just one bad relationship can affect your entire worldview on everyone else. Now,
but it is weird that it's not all in her head, because he goes and he sees other girls, and he even tries to attack other girls too.
And again, like I said, there are things in there that can like interfere with this analogy, but at the same time,
But
it does.
I love your analogy. Like this, I'm writing this down. This interpretation.
But it does. But it does affect. It does affect like her friends. It does affect like it does affect almost everything around her. I do agree that one part I don't quite get. But the girl that he takes on a date,
Who is just some random?
I'm not really sure what that was about, but everything else I could easily puzzle it to mean that.
Like, and that's why I was saying also, like, I think this is like if you took the Invisible Man idea and if you made it more psychological than technological, like if the Invisible Man is like actually a ghost in her head haunting her. I really like the premise of this. I think I have issues with the writing that we've talked about, but like across the board, I think the directing is really good. I think the acting was good. I struggled a little bit with the writing, but the music, the sound effects, the lights, the surrealism.
The lights great. And one reason why you know it's surreal, he doesn't jump like that at night. I kept thinking like,
And
what
the
job?
job is just scammed. I love
Yeah.
that.
What job do you report in at night to scan things with only two people in the office? I was like, well, what's happening right now?
And always a man and always a woman.
Yeah,
And a movie
that's
about
it.
sexual assault.
Yeah, nobody else is around but those two people. But very surreal. Very surreal setup. That's all I gotta say about it though. That's the dead thing, everyone. So.
Yeah. No, thank you for this convo, John, because I was watching this and I'm like, I kind of hate this. I don't like this at all. And then I'm talking to you and now I'm like, I feel like I'm on like, I understand like three more levels of it. And I want to go back and analyze it. Yeah. Good. Good convo.
That's a miracle of conversation. That's why I love talking about movies.
Yeah. All right, guys. So thanks for watching. Be sure to check out The Dead Thing when it comes out on Shudder, or maybe it's out already. If you enjoyed our discussion, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. We have lots more coverage coming soon. Are we doing Captain America next?
We are doing Captain America next, and we might also be doing Nickel Boys, and we also
I'm
might
so
be
excited
doing,
for that.
And we also might be doing one movie that we have not heard back on yet. But yes.
Yeah. I'm really excited for one of those.
Yep.
Be sure to check out our review recently for Bring Them Down, which I really enjoyed, as well as all our Sundance coverage. Lots of great stuff coming from Sundance, which will be out later this year. I'm Vint. You can find me on Blue Sky at Vint Writes Words.
I am John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Blue Sky.
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Blue Sky at My Cosmic Circus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.